You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side studios. We got the local, the state, the national. We got all of the issues covered, and I mean solid, conservative, and just plain right. Hour number two. Boomer, it's hour number two. I do that all the time.
All the time, and it just flies by, but it's like, for us, it's like, whoa, this just happened.
I know, it's like... All right, number two on the triple dipper here. I'm going with government gone rogue. I've had this sitting on my desk now for a couple of days here in the studio. When I resource the show, you hear me rattling the paper. When I resource the show, I spend time going through, and sometimes I know my topics in advance, and I'd have to resource them. Other times, I'm not sure what they're going to be, and I look for themes in the news, or I find a thread that I want to kind of pull on. This one I found a couple of days ago, but time not allowing of the last couple of shows, I'm just getting to it today. The funny thing is, what happens so often is that if I don't get to one of the dippers and I decide that it's good enough that I want to hang on to, like it's not just super time sensitive, I almost always add to it as time goes on.
Each day.
Because Boomer gets the brunt of it, I guess. But no, what happens is I literally get up super early in the morning, and after spending some time, have my quiet time with the Lord, cup of coffee, I start working the show. And so I send Boomer literally the triple dipper for the day with all the article links to it. He has to then go get the article links and then compile them into printable format. So we're taking out all the ads and the pictures and the things that take up fluff space. And so I've got all these. I'm holding them up. Like here's an example. I'm holding up to the camera right now if you're looking at the live stream. And so I got stacks of paper, and they just keep adding. It's like the paper is just breeding. So I'm just sitting here with a stack of paper that is about a third more than what I had when I first had this topic on, what day was that when I was back? Tuesday. Yeah. Yeah. This whole week, by the way, has been wacky for me.
Yeah, I'm sure it has. I mean, one, you had a crazy and awesome weekend, but yeah. Then you were just exhausted, and then it's like
crazy
all your
awesome
days are just mixed up.
Yeah. What day is this?
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's the day after hump day.
Post-camel day. But yeah, so yeah, my little girl got married this past weekend. I got to quit calling her my little girl. No, I'm not.
No.
I am not either. Correct me, Boomer.
Yeah, she's your little girl.
She's my little girl. Oh, Boomer just set me straight. She's always been my little girl. Anyway, she got married this past weekend. The wedding ceremony was actually Sunday evening. Monday, I mean, Charlene and I were talking about some aspect of it this weekend, and she said, remember that time when whatever, and I said, no, I really don't. I don't know what that, what do you mean? What was that? What conversation? You know, the one where so-and-so, but I've done that to her too. I brought something up, and she's like, I don't remember. I remember she said that literally after she got hair and makeup done, you know, because Charlene, by the way, she has the ability to make, she can make the most mundane things special. So like her gift, one of her gifts is to take an event and just make it spectacular. So we had the wedding planner, all that kind of, we had a florist, but Charlene is a florist. I mean, she laid on even more than what was being paid for. Well, I take it back. We paid for it, but you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so she was already exhausted. So the time she got her hair and makeup done, she said she sat on the stool and she doesn't remember much after that. She remembers the ceremony. That was good. But then Monday morning came, we still had to load the trailer back up because we took two vehicles full of stuff and a trailer full of stuff up there for the event. But she's married and it's wonderful and they're on their honeymoon and I'm happy. And I just took some more Tylenol a little while ago. I don't know why I'm talking about all this.
Special.
It is special.
It is very special.
It is very special.
Yeah. Very
special. All right. Yeah. You know what, though? But you gotta love in the middle. Oh, Paul from Athens is texting and says, my little girl's 38. Yeah. See, my little girl's 30. My little girl, she's 30. Anyway, But listen, you know what? I guess if I had to say this, these are serious topics. Like today, hyperbole, number one on the triple dipper. Number two, government gone rogue. Number three, in harm's way, troops that are actually in dangerous places around the world. Yes, those are happening. You know what I would say, though? Like this past weekend was evidence to me. There are still so many things to be joyful about. And if you listen to this show and it ever becomes a pure gripe session, you're welcome to call, text, or something and tell Phil to go outside, get some breath of fresh air, and come back in and start over. Because this show is not going to descend into that. That's not the mission. Literally every single day, I come on this air, folks, and do I have hope? Yes, I do. In the middle of all the madness, I do have hope. I believe that next week is going to be a big deal. Speaking of which, if next week was not a big deal for the conservative side of politics, I would still have several years of fodder to work with. But now I'm going to have a different kind of fodder. I believe I'm going to be able to talk about changes that we're going to make. And I'll be able to fuss about things they could be doing, but they're not yet. But I think next week's going to be big. Do I have hope? I have a lot of hope. I have hope in a lot of different things, by the way. But my hope all the way, by the way, is vested in my faith. It is vested in the belief that that life is worth living. I mean, every single day, I hope you hear on the show, I don't mind saying it, Jesus is Lord, America is great, Alabama's beautiful, life is worth living. You know what? That's the mission of the show. And at the same time, you're gonna get from me what I call the four E's. And that's that literally, we're going to educate, enlighten, and empower and entertain you. You're going to have a good time on this show and come away with something that gives you the ability to walk out the door, have that water cooler conversation with somebody, know the facts of what's going on in the world around you. And most of you guys are already super well educated on the facts, and all we're doing is adding to it. But there it is. Okay, that was a rant. We call that an unplanned rant here in the Right Side Studio.
Yes, but they're always so good.
An extra.
I'm over here just nodding my head.
He is. Boomer's not. I thought you were jamming to some music I didn't know about. You were. But listen, number two on the triple dipper, government gone rogue. So what do you do when you look up and you realize, okay, you know what? The powers that be, the ones who are allowed to make regulations, the ones who are allowed to pass the laws, the ones who sign the executive orders, and I'm not talking about federal, I'm talking about state. I'm talking about local. What happens when your mayor goes rogue? What happens when your town council says, we could care less what you think? What happens when Congress is passing things that don't in any way equate to what you believe? What happens when there's a Supreme Court nomination process and they select someone based on the color of their skin as opposed to first checking to see whether or not they are a true jurist? So I'm going to suggest to you that there are times when government, in my opinion, just goes rogue. We have to keep our eyes on it, and you have to see it and call it out. And I've got a variety of different things here in the stack that grew, things you might not be aware have been happening, some of which is like kind of in the background, and you go, wait, they did what? Yes. They mean they changed the verbiage on the website to say what? Yes, they did. Or you mean like there's going to be something soon where they might investigate the Twitter purchase? Yes. And there's CDC is doing what? Yes. I got a stack of stuff like that. How about things like conservatives running for office only to have negative performance reviews from their time in the military released to the public? How'd that happen? What about things like certain departments where the turnover at the federal level is so high because, believe it or not, there are bureaucrats who don't like what's happening and they don't want to be there anymore? I got some of that. How about major strikes with unions where the Department of Labor, which is a part of the government, by the way, is really helping to gum things up, and that can have a negative impact on our economy? I got a stack of this stuff. Government gone rogue. As soon as we get back from this break, we will jump right on it. What happens when the government just gets out there and does what it feels like doing? And all we can do is sit back and look at it? No, that's not all we can do. We vote. We talk. We care. We take action. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right, covering down on some ground across the entire northern half of the state of Alabama and neighboring states. And I'm going to tell you right now, saving the world one soundbite at a time. Had some great texts a minute ago. John from Huntsville says, I can't wait to go vote straight Republican. All right, that works. There's that. He also said, you're wrong. This is John from Huntsville. Phil, you're wrong about Biden's speech. It was very inspiring. It inspired me to think about never voting for a Democrat in any election ever. So here's that. Brian from Huntsville says, my little girls are 29 and 25 and wants to know if my girl has any prospects for his. I don't know, but she's got some friends in that age group, so maybe so. Jerry from Decatur says, I think Chuck Schumer's hot mic comment, and I remember this, because this was last week, I think Chuck Schumer's hot mic comments are what motivated Biden's speech. And he said squinting, though, is supposed to make him look tough and mean business. It won't work. That's Jerry from Decatur. Allie from Athens says that her little girl's going to be 40 in June. There you go. Always our little girl, right? But, yeah, there's just good stuff, and appreciate it. So government gone rogue. Let me just jump in on these. It's like this is not one thing, all right? These are a series of things. This is what I call the smorgasbord, the buffet of items that all go under the theme of government gone rogue. So here's the first one. Story on National Review came out yesterday. It's one of those that I added to Boomer's list to help me fix yesterday. Exclusive. House Republicans intervene in the attempted DOJ transgender directive. And I thought, what? And then it dawned on me. Oh, yeah. The Biden Department of Justice is taking action against the state of Alabama. You may recall that whole thing with, you know, filing suit against the state of Alabama for daring to have a law duly passed by the legislature that prevents transgender surgeries and therapies on minors. How dare we? How dare we legislate? How dare we spend 2 to 3 years working on a piece of legislation, drumming up the support, debating it in the well of the House and the Senate, passing it, having the governor of the state of Alabama sign it. How dare we? Well, the DOJ, though, is now taking action. And they made it very clear. So 14 House Republicans have signed a letter addressed to Attorney General Merrick Garland to express their deep concern about the prospect of the Department of Justice weaponizing its federal law enforcement power against law-abiding American citizens, this time to target those who are daring to question gender transition procedures for minors. That's right, you heard me. There's a move afoot. The letter from Congress, the Republicans in Congress, comes in response to one that was sent to the DOJ last month on behalf of the American Academy of Pediatrics, the American Medical Association, and Children's Hospital Association. You would like to believe those would be apolitical organizations, right? We just deal with medicine. No, extremely liberal. Those three organizations all urge the department, the Biden Department of Justice, to take, quote, swift action to investigate and prosecute all organizations, individuals, and entities responsible for attacks, quote, rooted in international campaign of disinformation. What the frick does that mean? You know what that means? They're urging the DOJ to take action against people who disagree with the idea of transgender therapies on minors. That's what that means. How dare the American Medical Association get involved in trying to limit the freedom of expression, the freedom of speech of Americans? Well, guess what? You've got a Biden DOJ that's been weaponizing itself on a regular basis. So the letter states to them, if the DOJ steps beyond its authority to comply with the request, DOJ would do incredible harm to Americans' freedom of speech and expression, the medical profession, and children and families. Given your department's recent numerous politically motivated abuses of power against Americans, our concern is eminently justified. One final comment on that. Under no circumstance should this administration further weaponize federal law enforcement against well-meaning parents who are rightfully concerned with their children's well-being at the behest of a bunch of leftists and white coats. If they do, Republicans in Congress must be ready for a fight to defund it. Full stop. That was Representative Chip Roy. I love Chip Roy. Man, that guy's just solid. Anyway, there's that. Government gone rogue. The Biden Department of Justice has been the most activist. I mean, I thought that it was bad under Obama, you know, and you saw things happening under Obama's administration that you're like, wow. But now it's got a whole new mean streak to it. Now they're willing to ruin lives for daring to dissent from the narrative that they're trying to follow. Okay, government gone rogue. Next one I've got. Biden federal regulations have surged over 45% in the victory for the swamp. So story of the Washington Examiner. You're going to love this. Federal rules and regulations, which are the swamp's tax on U.S. companies and citizens, have surged over 45% under President Joe Biden. What does this mean? Well, what it means is, I mean, they like to say, well, Trump had executive orders too. Not like you. I mean, executive order can be something as simple as I direct that flags be flown at half staff to honor someone who passed away. But then there's the ones that get issued that try to change people's lives and put regulatory, you know, hurdles in place. Well, a new tally from the regulations czar at the Competitive Enterprise Institute showed that Biden's team has issued 4,429 rules. That's a 45% jump in paperwork over former President Donald Trump's final year. The price impact is unclear, he said, although it's much likely higher than it was under Trump, who sometimes used new rules to kill off old rules. Initially, he said it appeared that Biden had issued fewer regulations, but he dug deeper, the Competitive Enterprise Institute, and said Biden issued fewer rules initially than Trump did. That would seem counterintuitive, although not inexplicable. It takes time to issue new rules. Still, Biden's whole-of-government agenda would inevitably make one wonder where all the rules are. Well, it turns out they're on the newer white paper compilation charts. Anyway, what I'm bottom line saying is, when they began to count all the regulatory pieces that had been put in place by the Biden administration, what they found was almost half more than what had happened under a full term of the Trump administration. That's regulatory authority gone bananas. Government gone rogue. All right, we're going to go to a break right now. When I come back from this one, I got to tell you, the CDC, the Centers for Disease Control, that organization that we used to all respect prior to COVID, well, they've got their own thing going on. It's important that they change things on their website, you know, covering down on things like pregnant people and using gender-neutral pronouns. Yeah, you heard me. Government gone rogue, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, covering all of North Alabama. I'm talking about we are down south of Birmingham. We're up north of Huntsville. We're Tuscaloosa over to Gadsden. We got parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and Mississippi thrown in just for good measure. Coming up, by the way, top of the hour, Greg Cook, candidate for Republican candidate for state Supreme Court, is going to be in studio with us, and I'm excited to have him in. You're going to want to hear his personal story. He's got a very cool story. Harvard Law graduate, served in the Air Force, spent time in the Pentagon, and now back here in the state of Alabama, very involved in Republican politics and running for the Supreme Court. So you'll hear from him in just a moment. He's one more on the ballot for next week. But I'm in number two of the Triple Dipper, government gone rogue. All right, so here's the next one. You ready for this? So the CDC, the Centers for Disease Control, in response to the overall tone and tenor of the Biden administration on issues, all issues transgender, has gone neck deep. So the Centers for Disease Control has removed the word woman from sections of its safety guidance on flu vaccines during pregnancy. What? Yes. So the Postmillennial has the story. Came out yesterday. One more that I added to Boomer's list. According to the Daily Mail, gendered terms like woman, women, mother, she, her, were all erased from the Q&A section of the flu vaccine safety and pregnancy page in August of last year. The words were then replaced with things like gender-neutral language like pregnant people and the gender-neutral pronoun of their. However, the words woman do appear in other parts of the CDC websites, like things for vaccines for pregnancy and that kind of stuff, which is good. I'm glad. But so why would they do this? Well, Dr. Jane Orient, an executive director of the Association of American Physicians and Surgeons, told the Daily Mail, there is no logical scientific reason to say this. It's clearly a political move. If you don't have a uterus and you don't have ovaries, you can't be pregnant. Makes sense. I'm pretty sure I learned that when I was very young. I did not stay at a Holiday Inn Express. I am not a doctor, but I can get it. Anyway, those advocating for the use of gender-neutral language in the healthcare setting argue that the intention is to ensure that everyone feels included, because that's so important. When you examine science, it's not about the science. It's about whether everyone feels included. This is where I just want to play that little sound clip of the guy hiding in the back room at Starbucks. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Boomer. I mean, that to me was just like the epitome of snowflakishness, and that's what we're seeing here. We got to take it, the CDC. We're not the Centers for Disease Control. We're the Centers for making sure that everyone feels included. What does that even mean? So, for example, it says, because a tiny number of females who identify as men may become pregnant, the word woman should be removed from maternity care in order to include them. Makes no sense. It's a classic example of government gone rogue. How about this? Let's switch gears. Treasury Department wants to put Elon Musk's Twitter buyout under a microscope. So if you're on Twitter, by the way, I'm on Twitter. If you want to follow me on Twitter, that's the one I wind up being the most active on. We're also on Facebook and Instagram, but my Twitter feed is at Sin, that's S-E-N, at Sin Phil Williams. And I'm a prolific tweeter. I kind of wish they had a more manly name for it, though. What'd you do with your time? I was tweeting. I feel like I should curtsy when I say it. But anyway, nonetheless, I'm on Twitter. Well, you've seen the whole thing. Elon Musk buying out Twitter. $44 billion with a B dollars. How many zeros is that, Boomer?
A lot.
The answer is 17. I can picture it in my head. That's 90, I believe, not including the 40. All right. Am I right?
Nine.
Okay, I thought so. 17. that's misinformation. All right. Breitbart reports, as of yesterday, Treasury Department wants to put Elon Musk's Twitter buyout under a microscope. It says officials at the U.S. Treasury Department are now determining if they have the legal authority to start an investigation into Elon Musk buying Twitter due to Elon Musk's ties to foreign investors and governments. They weren't very concerned about Tesla. They weren't very concerned about SpaceX, which has contracts with NASA. They weren't very concerned about Twitter in general before Elon Musk took over. Oh, that's right. He's changing the whole free speech mode. Ah. Says people familiar with the matter who spoke on the condition of anonymity told the Washington Post that under the terms of Musk's buyout, that foreign investors could have access to confidential information about Twitter's finances and possibly the social media platform's users. Don't we think, though, that they might want to investigate TikTok, if that's the case, owned by the Chinese government? Don't we think that perhaps they might want to examine Meta, the company that now owns Facebook? Maybe the smart guys at Twitter are smart enough to know how to put firewalls on that information. Just maybe. Says the sources added that officials of the FBI have also looked into the potential counterintelligence risks posed by Musk's Twitter purchase. It remains unclear whether any of them were senior FBI officials or if those discussions are still active. Additionally, Treasury employees at the Committee on Foreign Investment in the United States have not yet determined whether Musk's buyout could trigger a national security review. Golly, bum. So what they're saying here is, oh, wait a minute. You're changing things? We're not allowed to screen out Donald Trump anymore? We can't do things like put Phil Williams in the lockbox again? I was in the penalty box multiple times on Twitter, usually for fun stuff. But, yeah. All right, next, what have I got? Man. It's just not good when the boomer, when the title of your section is Government Gone Rogue and you keep finding more stuff.
It's kind of a little sad.
Here's one from military.com. Air Force acknowledges improperly releasing a congressional candidate's performance review. By the way, she was a Republican and it was not a good performance review. Oh, now it all makes sense. Says a junior individual, end quote, improperly released a Republican congressional candidate's Air Force records, an action that led to the public disclosure of her sexual assault, the service is acknowledging. Okay, so here's the bottom line. Her name is Jennifer Ruth Green. She was a lieutenant colonel in the Indiana Air National Guard. She's locked into a competitive race for a House seat in Indiana against a Democrat. And what happens? All of a sudden, one of her performance reviews, which was not great, was released to the public. That's a part of her personal personnel file. How does that happen? Well, what happened was somebody decided to access her perms, her iPerms, pull it down. In other words, someone had to have administrative access. They had to go somewhere that they had access to get to because they were trusted with it. They pulled it down, and they published it in an effort to try and shame her. These are her personal military records. She says, by the way, what it did was it kind of backfired on them. I will say that. Because she claims that the negative performance review she got was because she reported sexual assault and that she felt like she was dinged for it on her performance because she'd had good reviews otherwise. So here you have someone's personnel file being released to the public for purely political purposes. There's no reason to do this. If she wasn't running for office, no one would have ever done it. She's a Republican in a tight race against a Democrat. Someone had access to her personnel file. And by the way, for those of you that are not in the military, all of it's on what we call iPerms now. It's all usually passcode protected in the cloud at HRC, Human Resources Command. And if you are going to have access to someone's files, it's because you're put in a position of trust to do so. It wasn't like she released it herself. Someone else got it. Government gone rogue is what I'm saying. All right, what's I got next? I mean, this is, and see what I'm saying? These are things that are flying under the radar, but when you put them all together, what you're finding is that people in positions of authority in a Biden-controlled government are literally doing things left and right that are contrary to the reasons why they're supposed to be there. The CDC has got no business changing words to things like pregnant people. There are no pregnant people. There are pregnant women. The Department of Justice has no business getting a letter from the AMA, the American Medical Association, and then going after people who dare to dissent against the position of transgender therapies on minors and surgeries on minors. No business whatsoever. But they're considering it. The Treasury Department is getting involved in Elon Musk buying Twitter. You see what I'm saying? Government gone rogue. This is not supposed to be happening. This is an abuse of position, an abuse of power, and it can't stand. Tell you what, Boomer, let's go ahead and take the break about a minute early. Let's do that right now. I'll come back and wrap this segment up. Government gone rogue. Bunch of knuckleheads. All right, folks, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, covering all of North Alabama. Solid conservative, just plain right, making it cool to be a conservative. Continuing this theme of government gone rogue. So here's one that you got to look at and go, wow, okay, maybe government goes rogue, but even some members of government don't like it and they leave. How about this? Daily Wire reported on October 31st, staff at Biden's top financial regulator keep quitting. Republicans want to know why. As staff at the Securities and Exchange Commission departed at elevated levels amid a surge in rulemaking, Republican lawmakers are pressing the SEC chair Gary Gensler for an explanation. Under the Biden administration, the regulatory agency is pursuing new rule changes at a much faster pace than in past years with a proposal to force climate disclosures among the most controversial. A private letter to Gensler from six Republicans on the Senate Banking Committee claims that he has adopted an overly antagonistic posture towards the financial industry. We've talked on the show multiple times about ESG scores, about how the environmental social governance, you know, the left-wing liberal just, you know, junk that gets thrown in is now considered more important than profitability for a corporation. And the SEC, the Securities and Exchange Commission, is a part of the problem. They're literally apparently out there making rules right now that or designed, it says here, an efforts to ram through hurried rulemaking without proper analysis, deliberation, or consideration of downstream negative impacts is regulatory malpractice, said the Republicans. It's mostly related to liberal positions that are being forced now upon corporations. The article goes on to say, roughly 20.8%, almost 21% of employees in senior positions departed the agency in the last fiscal year, marking the highest attrition in nearly a decade. Okay, you have to look at it and go, okay, it's post-COVID. People have a chance to sort of stay in that position where they've got the guaranteed government paycheck. Most of these are senior positions, it says. And yet 20% of the staff has rolled out the door, making the highest attrition in nearly a decade. So it's not like it happened during the Trump administration. It's been quite a while since we saw this level of turnover. According to a report from the SEC's Office of Inspector General published earlier this month, it was their data that gave us the information. It wasn't like we picked it up from somewhere else. Turnover reached 8% among attorneys, 7% among economists. The SEC takes significantly longer than the private sector to also hire new workers. An audit of the agency's hiring process finds that almost half of the analyzed hiring actions took more than 100 business days. In other words, they've lost 20% of their staff at the SEC and highest in a decade, and they're taking forever to refill them. And Republicans want to know, what are you doing over there that's running people out the door? Well, it's a hostile work environment, and it's so regulatory burdensome that they're sick of trying to tell businesses, you know what, you got to be liberal. I don't want to be liberal. I'm sorry, we're the SEC. You have to be liberal. How about this one? Let me change those gears. Threat of a rail strike rises as members of another union reject a proposed labor deal. CNN reports October 26th. Phil, why this is government gone rogue? It is. Keep in mind, it's the Biden Department of Labor that is working the union negotiations. Interesting. Let me read this quote to you. Michael Baldwin, president of the Brothers of Railroad Signalmen, who just voted down a September tentative agreement. He says, for the first time I can remember, the members voted not to ratify a national agreement with the highest participation rate in BRS history. For the first time he can remember. Why would that be? Maybe it's because they know they've got the rank and file of the union knows they've got a Department of Labor at their beck and call, and they can go ahead and deny this one, and they'll get even more later. So why take the first deal? Why do it when you've got a Biden administration that goes and gives speeches at union gatherings every time it turns around that is literally encouraging the unionization of places like Starbucks, of all things, for baristas? Why would they take the deal when they know they've got a Department of Labor that's going to do nothing but go, yeah, you guys need more. We need to get more for them. Let's get more for them. They didn't like it the first time. Let's work this back around. Let's find out what else can we give them. Well, the vote was 60-40, roughly, representing 6,000 employees of the nation's major freight railroads who install, repair, and maintain the signal systems. The rail unions, it says in the article further on CNN, nearly went on strike last month before 11th-hour deals were reached, but those deals have now not been approved. So back to the drawing board. The new contracts would have included an immediate 14% pay raise with back pay to 2020. What? 14% with back pay 2 years. And pay raises totaling 24% during the four-year life of the contracts, which runs from 2020 through 2024. It also gives the union members cash bonuses of at least $1,000 a year. That's a sweet deal, man. And there's a whole lot more packed in there for time off, sick leave, work hours. And you know what's going to wind up happening? If the Biden Department of Labor keeps dithering on this and not pressuring the union to get on board, then you're going to wind up seeing a major rail strike that is going to impact quality of life in this nation like you would not believe. If you think the supply chain is jacked up now, wait until the rail is not leaving the ports. Wait until rail is not taking farm to market. Wait until the rail is not transiting people to work every day, on the metros. I'm just telling you, this is going to be big. Last couple. Here's one that I find to be extremely interesting. Government gone rogue? Yeah, government gone rogue. DHS meeting with Twitter, Facebook, and Wikipedia and more monthly to coordinate content moderation efforts. Now, the interesting thing is some of this started during the Trump administration, which you look at and go, wow, there is a deep state. But it says the Department of Homeland Security has been working to influence big tech platforms. This is on Postmillennial, dated October 31st. Government gone rogue. The Department of Homeland Security has been working to influence big tech platforms. This became originally evident when the Biden administration launched the ill-fated Disinformation Governance Board. Remember that one? The Disinformation Governance Board, the Office of Disinformation. What was that chucklehead's name that almost got that job, Boomer? I can't remember. Oh, man, look up Office of Disinformation and see if you can find her name. She sang all those little ditty songs that talked about stopping disinformation. Anyway, Missouri Attorney General Eric Schmidt has filed a lawsuit, which has now revealed that a DHS director at one point told a Microsoft executive and a DHS director communicated that platforms, social media, have got to get comfortable with government. It's really interesting how hesitant they remain. In other words, they're pressuring them. Get on board, y'all. We're trying to work here. Twitter, Facebook, Wikipedia, all of them. Things like how best to coordinate the suppression of the withdrawal from Afghanistan, or that the idea was going to be shut off, that COVID came from the Wuhan lab. And then, of course, Hunter Biden's laptop. This article goes into it in detail about how all of that was coordinated through the Department of Homeland Security. Government gone rogue. I didn't even get to all of it, but that's enough. Coming up next, Greg Cook, candidate for state Supreme Court. You're going to want to hear him. He's good. We'll be right back.